It's fascinating when you look through the Bible, the methodical or the systematic way that God has presented certain truth to us in a way that's just, it's amazing, it's fascinating.
Amen.
While considering the passages of our text, we're actually going to have several passages that we'll look at, so it's going to be a little bit out of the ordinary of how we usually go through things. But it's clear in the Genesis account, a particular set of issues has come up roughly every 10 chapters. And I know God didn't give the Word of God to Moses in chapters, but you could say that that's in pretty good regularity that these issues have come up. In chapter 9, chapter 19, and chapter 29... the issue of, and this is the message of the day, 9, 19, and 29. Chapters 9, 19, and 29. The message, you're welcome. The message, the title, and the subject for the day is drugs and consequences. Drugs and consequences. Okay? Now, we have a fair amount of young people that are in the group. But know that it's not just a young people thing that drugs get a hold of. You know, this is a young people, this is an old people, this is a white people, this is a black people, this is a rich people, this is a poor people. All kinds of people have trouble when they associate themselves with drugs. Okay? The consequences of drugs are never good things, they're always bad things. And the most severe consequence of drugs, of course, is death. But as we approach this subject, we must consider the reality of our times. Drugs and alcohol are real things to consider. Okay? Drugs and alcohol, you can find drugs and alcohol. There's a convenience store 100 yards away from this front door, and you can find things that will kill you in that convenience store. They're sold legally every day. Okay? There's a number of illicit drugs that you can find in this county, in Hardin County. You can find, yes, illicit means illegal. What? I-L-L-I-S-I-L-L-I-C-I-T. Illicit or illegal drugs. Okay? Alcohol is considered a legal drug. There's stipulations with it, but it's legal to have and possess. Illegal drugs, illicit drugs that you could find in this county, without driving out of this county, without leaving 92, which is the road that runs right in front of this, you can find marijuana, you can find cocaine, crack, heroin, LSD, ecstasy, methamphetamines, anything you want. If you're looking for drugs, you can find it, all here in Hardin County.
That's frustrating.
There are many side effects, there are many consequences to drugs and alcohol. The prevalence in this country is astounding. Listen, the lifetime prevalence or use of any illicit drug, illegal drug, for teens in the 8th grade, 10th grade, or 12th grade. What grade are you in, Logan?
8th.
8th grade. What grade are you in?
9.
Lex is in the 6th grade. The lifetime prevalence of someone using illegal drugs in the 8th, 10th, and 12th grades is 33.9, almost 34%. One in three people Logan's age is using illegal drugs, is what that statistic says. Oh, but I go to a Christian school. That statistic doesn't factor in Christian school. Because you know what? Christian school does not guarantee anyone, including a child of God, from not using drugs. Okay?
Right.
We're going to be looking. You see, God, His Word, He structures His Word toward His people. Okay? It wouldn't be an outstanding thing if lost people used drugs, right, or alcohol. But the passages we're going to look at are all involving chapters 9, chapters 19, and 29, involving His people using drugs. Alcohol. Before we dig into that, the number of people in the United States as of 2018 who have used various illicit drugs, marijuana, over 120 million Americans, one-third of the population, have used marijuana as of 2018. Over 40 million people in the U.S. have tried crack cocaine. Again, all stuff you can get right here. Over 9 million people have tried crack. Over 5 million heroin. Over 2 million LSD. Almost 20 million ecstasy. And almost 15 million people have been exposed to methamphetamines, uppers. These numbers do not include alcohol, which is not considered an illicit drug. So these are the harder drugs that over a third of our population in our country have experienced. Alcoholism is one of the biggest public crises in the United States today, and nobody talks about it because it's legal, it's fine. But it has been for generations. Let me read you a couple things here, if you don't mind. If you'll give me just a few minutes. The Mayo Clinic explains that alcoholism is a physical and emotional dependence on alcohol. And someone who is in an alcoholic state cannot control their constant impulses to drink. If you want to drink, you're going to drink more. They cannot control it. And it contributes to such problems as relationship problems, job problems, financial problems, problems at work, problems in school, problems in health. 6 people die every single day related to an alcoholic or alcohol-related death. 6 people a day. Okay? The effect of drinking too much alcohol too quickly. 76% of people who die are men. Consequences, side effects of alcoholism include vomiting, disorientation, difficulty breathing, rapid breathing, loss of consciousness, and even death. Dangerous drinking can cause a number of health issues, and there's 100,000 people who die every year, over 100,000 people who die every year, and they never drank a drink, but they die as a result of someone else drinking a drink. Okay? I was hit head on almost 20 years ago by a drunk driver. Humanly speaking, I should have died. I should have. I know I was going over 70. I don't know how fast he was going, but whenever the investigators came and looked at the road, there were no brake lines on that road. So you do the math. When you're going in opposite directions at certain speeds, then you can just add those things together. So if he was matching my speed, that's 140 miles an hour that I came to a stop. Okay? A complete stop. So you don't have to drink to be impacted at all by alcohol. 24.6% of people 18 years or over admitted that they have engaged in the kind of drinking that is outlined by those symptoms that we gave earlier. In the past month, not ever, in the past month, one quarter of people over 18 get drunk to the point where they experience symptoms. Is alcohol an issue of today? You better believe it. You young people, you better believe it. If you're ever approached by someone or ever enticed to partake in any alcohol or drugs, you better believe that there will be consequences. And just because you get away with it one time doesn't mean you're off the hook. Okay? Alcoholism is the third leading lifestyle-related cause in America. That's behind obesity and tobacco use. Okay, so people deciding they want to live their life this way and I want to do this, alcohol is the third way, the third lifestyle reason that they're going to die. 17% of men in the general population and 8% of women will meet the criteria of alcoholism in their lifetime. What's that mean? Almost 1 in 5 men. How many men we have in here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So by the numbers, one of us will have an issue with alcohol. We pray the Lord that the people across the street will balance out those statistics, and none of us will. But 1 in 8, or 8% rather, almost 1 in 10 women will have an issue with alcoholism. So ethanol is the deal in alcohol. It produces intoxication because of its different effects on various areas of the brain. Here's the symptoms that you'll have. Disinhibition of normal social function, or you'll lose self-control in public setting. Okay? You'll lose self-control. If you lose control, who's got control? Huh? You young ladies, hear me. If you lose control, who's got control? Oftentimes, and I'm going to be very frank here, oftentimes certain people will give drugs or alcohol to other people so that they will intentionally cause them to lose control so they can be violated and abused, so they can be mishandled. Okay? Don't put yourself in a scenario where you will lose self-control because of drugs and alcohol. That's going to come out in our message today. It'll change your gait, it'll change or how you walk, it'll change your judgment, you'll lose memory, you'll lose self-control, you'll become confused, disoriented, fatigue, lethargy, or sleepy-headed, and ultimately it can cause death. Because of the high rates of marijuana we talked about, over 120 million people in America have used it. We'll go over some of the side effects of that too. Dependence is one. People say, you can't get hooked on that. But if people like feeling good and they feel good using marijuana, well, the feeling, being addicted to feeling good is definitely a possibility. Okay? Right? If I like eating chocolate cake and it makes me feel good, I'm going to keep eating chocolate cake. I'm not addicted to it, but I'm going to keep doing it because I like it. So I'm addicted, right? Sleepiness, difficulty keeping track of time, reduced ability to perform tasks. If you ever want to keep a job and you like to smoke pot, that makes it difficult. You like to smoke marijuana, that makes it difficult. Driving cars, it makes it difficult. Let's see. Decreased social inhibitions or losing self-control in social settings, paranoia, anger, impaired comprehension, impaired motivation, cognition, or thinking, and ability to receive new concepts. For a time, it alters your thinking. And we can get into a lengthy discussion of why people start doing drugs, but know this. I want you to know this, every one of you. The drug itself is not the problem, okay? The drug is not the problem. It's a symptom of the problem, okay? So if I have a cold and I sneeze and I got stuff coming out of my lungs, those are symptoms of the problem, but the problem is the germs in my body. These drugs are not the problem. The problem is sin. Sin is the problem. Now these drugs, what makes them grab people is there are certain chemicals that God has given us in our body to regulate our mood and our behavior. And these drugs manipulate those chemicals and they peak them out so that we feel good when we don't feel good. And it makes us want to have those levels peaked out some more. Okay? But the desire behind all that stuff in the first place is sin. The first place we'll look, we're going to read these passages, Genesis chapter 9. And as we read these passages, now that we have heard some things about drugs and alcohol, read these passages and we're going to get some things out of them in the time that we have here left. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20. And Noah began to be an husbandman or a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine. Uh-oh, you mean he's going to have those symptoms that we talked about earlier? That he's going to lose self-control and become confused and disoriented and lose his memory and have poor judgment? You tell me. He drank of the wine and he was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two sons without. And Shem and Ham and Shem and Japheth rather took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. I want you to know this. We're going to read of Noah, Lot, and Jacob. All three of these men were saved men. They were saved men. Okay? These men were saved. We know that Noah was saved. It says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, when speaking of the wickedness of man, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm going to read about Lot in 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. We're bouncing a little bit, but we need to know some things that these verify that these are saved men. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver. Excuse me, I didn't read verse 7. I didn't go back to verse 5. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Yes, he was a preacher of righteousness, but this man got drunk, and he had a problem because of that. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example or example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, not Lot only because there were two daughters, just meaning justified Lot, just man Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Okay? So he delivered him out of that temptation. The Lord did it, but it was Lot. And it says he was a godly man. In Romans chapter 9, verse 13, it says that God hated Esau but loved Jacob. That's what it says. Loved Jacob but hated Esau. So if he loved him, he loved him, and he was a saved man. Chapter 9, verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. We read about the account about Noah. Read in Genesis 19. Verse 30, we're still talking about drugs and alcohol and consequences. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine. You mean old Noah? Lot, he's gonna have those same consequences, those same side effects of confusion, loss of self-control, poor judgment, and loss of memory. Let's see. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. You mean they got their dad so drunk that they were able to have children with him? Yes, that's what drugs and alcohol can do, young men and women. And they made their father drink wine and that night, and their firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she rose, blackout drunk. And it came to pass on the morning that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesterday night with my father, let us make him drink the wine this night also. And go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. Got a bottle of water here. Children of God, you are not above sinning. I am not above sinning. So introducing drugs and alcohol into our lives puts us at great peril of dishonoring God with each and every time that would happen. Each and every time. We're gonna look at the different personalities here, these men, in just a minute, and see which one of these personalities we might more identify with. But we'll first read chapter 29 to catch the account. We've read this already before. Chapter 29, verse 21. And Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. Now, it doesn't say explicitly that wine was involved like the other two cases. But in the previous readings, we have noticed that both Rachel and Leah looked very different. Okay?
That's right.
So he did not have his senses about him. He didn't have good judgment. He didn't have recall. He didn't have any of that stuff. And what's it say? And Laban gave his daughter Leah his maid for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, when whatever had happened, the night of the party had worn off, and we can come to the conclusion that it was alcohol, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me or deceived me?" These men all impacted in a very distinct way with the effects of drugs and alcohol. Personalities. Drugs can use and will impact all those that use. Drugs and alcohol will use you, young men and women, old men and women, and will impact you. You might not have the same experience that these people do, but these experiences happen every single day. Okay? There are some commonalities that do happen. But let's look at these personality types. Okay? We read in Genesis chapter 6, we could read in verse 9 again. Look at what kind of man Noah was. Chapter 6 and verse 9. Oh, that could never happen to me. I'm a godly man. I'm a Christian man. I even teach sometimes in the church. Chapter 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. He was a lawful man. Okay? And perfect or complete or wholesome in his generations. And Noah walked with God. His manner of life was such that he was a God-honoring man. Look at that man. He's a God-honoring man. He's walking with God. This man got drunk. Okay?
Yeah.
This man got drunk and it hurt him. And we'll see how he hurt him. But right now we're just looking at personalities. Well, maybe you don't identify with Noah, who was the just and the perfect man. I'm more of a practical person. I know how to handle my business, you might say. I'm more like Lot. Lot, chapter 13 of Genesis. Chapter 13. Lot was a very practical man. Chapter 13, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Why? Because it was well watered. He had much cattle already. That's why he and Abraham were going in different directions. He wanted to prosper as a man. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. In verses 12 and 13, and Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Yeah, he was a good businessman. He saw the land was good to be prospered in. He was a good evaluator of right and wrong, you could say. He had a poor decision making as far as what he would expose his family to. I'm pretty well together. Yeah, I can do that. But I can choose to expose my family to sin on a regular basis. It'll turn out okay because I'm such a good family and practical man, might have been his thought. I can keep it together. I can teach them of the Lord. I can do those things. I can be comfortable around that. It said, we already read in Peter that he was vexed and troubled, right? But it also said God knows how to deliver his people out of temptation. Right? He delivered Lot out of there. He was vexed and troubled, but he wasn't vexed and troubled enough with that sin to move himself out of there. But this is a man who was a good businessman. He couldn't handle his alcohol or drugs either. Well, I'm not like that. I'm not a good businessman, and I'm not like Noah, man. That's well out of reach. I'm not just or perfect or walk with God. I'd say you would think I'm just more like Jacob. I'm more streetwise like Jacob. Jacob is streetwise, huh? It means he knows how to interact with people and not get taken advantage of. Okay? Someone who is not streetwise goes straight up to the carnival or the fair and sees how many baseballs he can throw at those glass bottles, right? You know what I'm saying? So not streetwise. So Genesis 27, verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, this is when Jacob had supplanted the blessing there, or taken the blessing of his dad from Esau, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac. He was just out of the room, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also made savory meat and brought it into his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety. Thy brother Jacob, the supplanter, the one that supersedes or grabs the heel or replaces, came with subtlety or deceit. Okay? Oh, you can't trick a trickster. He's full. He's looking for it. He knows what to do. He knows the symptoms, and he knows when to pull back. He knows when enough is enough, and he'll never go that far because he's streetwise. He's got himself under control. He hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob the supplanter? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright as the firstborn in Genesis 25, and behold, he has now taken away my blessing in verse 27. Why does it matter that we look at these three personalities? Simply this, from wholesome and lawful family man, to wise and hardworking businessman, to dirty, rotten scoundrel, streetwise and deceiving crook, there are none that are so wise that they can successfully encounter drugs and alcohol and not lose control and not come out with a poor and terrible consequence. Don't think that you're better than Noah, than Lot, or than Jacob. Again, these are three saved men. These are the patriarchs, some of the patriarchs, you could say. Don't think you can do it. Don't mess with it. Don't even, we do wine here for the Lord's Supper, but you notice we use very modest amounts. Okay? You just look in the Bible, oh, Jesus drank wine. Well, yeah, their wine was a little different than ours, that's for sure. But drunkenness was an issue in their day too. Don't even play with it. It'll grab you. Don't think you can handle it any better than others. It'll grab you. The symptoms of drug use in each case. Noah, recall back. Didn't he show a lack of social functioning? He was laying out, passed out, drunk, and naked and undefended. You don't think drugs can get a hold of you? It might have you laying out naked in a yard somewhere. Yeah. What happened to Noah? He was in his tent. You might be in your tent, you might be in a yard. You might be somewhere you really don't want to be, around people you really don't want to be around, when you're found naked. He partied hard until those around him saw that he could be manipulated into doing what they wanted him to do. You mean you can't even get drunk around your own family? Ask Noah. Oh, it's safe. I'm doing it at home. And the safety of my home is no problem. Ask Noah. Ask Noah. Poor judgment. Would he have laid down naked and exposed if he was not drunk? That's not something I usually do. Lay down naked if I... You know, that's not a common practice. Probably not. If he would have really done that on a regular basis, Moses would not have mentioned that that's what happened, that he was found naked. Loss of memory. He couldn't remember what had happened, but he only felt the consequences of what had happened, and he knew, because he knew his family, who had done what to him. Okay? But he couldn't remember exactly, he couldn't remember the details. He was drunk. confused and disoriented. Could Ham have done what he did to Noah if Noah was not in a drunk state? No, he could not. He could not. Lot. He put away his social functioning. He partied hard until those around him saw that he could be manipulated into doing what they wanted him to do. Lot laid with his daughters in successive nights without knowing they were coming in or going out. It has never been, outside of the days of Adam and Eve and their first line generations, it has never been a practice for men to lay with their daughters and sons to lay with their mothers. That doesn't happen. Lot would not have done that. Would Lot have done that if he were in a sober state? Absolutely not. Evidently not. Or else his daughters, they wouldn't have felt the need. They had that conversation. Hey, we got to get him drunk. And then we can do what we want to do. They knew that. Side question. You think Lot had ever been drunk before? Probably so. Otherwise, how would his daughters know what kind of man he would be unless they'd seen him drunk before? Just throwing that out there. Loss of memory. If Lot had any memory or recollection that the first daughter had been with him the first night, he would have taken all precautions the second night to protect the same thing from happening. But he had no recollection that that had happened. To him, he had only gotten drunk and life moves on. Confusion and disorientation. Could that have happened? Could these things have happened if Lot was not in a drunk state? Absolutely not. Jacob, the streetwise boy. Was his social function disoriented? Absolutely. He partied hard until those around him saw he could be manipulated into doing what they wanted him to do. Poor judgment? Yeah. He married a woman he wasn't in love with. Imagine that. I work for a company and every 2 weeks, at the end of those 2 weeks, I expect them to pay me. And if I don't get the payment, I might get upset with them. Right? He worked for 7 years. You would think he would make sure he got paid what he was owed. Right? So after 7 years, because of intoxication, he didn't have the judgment to make sure that he was getting what he had worked for. Loss of memory. He did not remember at all what he had done, but only saw the evidence of what had been done the next day. He didn't remember doing that. Confusion. Did he get the wife he wanted because of the case of his mind? No. If he had not been confused, he would have married Rachel. If he had been sober, he would have married Rachel. He would not have married Leah at the first. And we know these things work out according to providence. But you see the evidence of alcohol in these men's lives. Surely we do. The consequences. We'll just name them briefly. You can read these. We've studied these cases already. Consequences. Noah got raped. Okay? Canaan was cursed to continue in sexual immorality as a pattern of worship of the false gods from before the flood. You look at all through the Old Testament at the pattern of the Canaanites, what were they prone to? Sexual immorality related to their worship of false gods. Lot. He also got raped. You know? He did. And Moab and Ammon were conceived. Okay? Those two daughters had children, and their children's names were Moab and Ammon. The sons and their lineage was the Moabites and the Ammonites. And those children plagued the children of Israel as long as they were in existence. They were bothersome to them in their national history. Always. You mean just two nights in human history can create hundreds of years of problems? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Jacob married a woman he didn't love, and his home life became contentious and troublesome. And he listened to this, okay? We're going to be getting into this the moment we get into the life of Joseph. The other children, the first 10 children, hated Joseph, Because he was the son of the loved Rachel, and Jacob obviously loved Jacob more. Okay? But because of that first night of being drunk, one night of being drunk, and losing his abilities and his judgment and all that stuff, these 10 children got together and sold Joseph into slavery. Joseph is perceived dead by Jacob for many years. And Jacob experienced a lifetime of grief for the loss of a child because he decided to get drunk one night. You see that? Can alcohol impact your life? Yes. Can it impact your life in one night? Yes. 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 Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. We'll read a couple things and then find our conclusions here. Proverbs, please, if you would, chapter 20 and verse 1. There's some very straightforward words that we have. Wine is a mocker. Wine in this passage, that's what it says. It's wine is personified or given personality qualities. It's talked about as if wine is a person, okay? Wine is a mocker. It's a deceiver. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Not wise. Was Noah wise in his day? No. Noah. I don't want to beat up too much on these guys, but we got to learn their lesson, y'all. You young people, you old people, we got to learn their lesson. Wine, strong drink, alcohol, drugs can ruin your life. Ruin it. Okay? It's a deceiver to those who take it in. If one lives wisely, they will leave drugs and alcohol alone. And those that take it in are not wise. Who would desire to live a life that is unwise before God? Hopefully none of us would raise our hands to that. Proverbs 23, turn the page over. 23, verses 20 and 21. Be not among wine bibbers. A wine bibber is a user of wine. Be not among them. Proverbs 23, verse 20. He says, be not among them. So don't just not drink with them. Don't be around them. Be not among them. Among riotous eaters of flesh, or gluttonous eaters. For the drunken and the glutton, the drunk and the glutton shall come to poverty. They'll end up in the poorhouse. Okay? Now I've known people who drink, and they're very wealthy. But not every poverty is in the form of money. Hear that. I don't want to be poor in money, but I also don't want to be poor in relationships. I don't want to be poor in anything. Right? I want to be rich unto God. We should desire to be rich unto God. And drowsiness shall clothe a man in rags. Consider Galatians, if you would. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the works of the flesh. And these works of the flesh, you will not be surprised to know that drunkenness is counted among these works of the flesh. Galatians 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Look at the company that drunkenness keeps. Okay? So drunkenness keeps some very unsavory company. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, rebellions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things, not that you've done it once in your life, you'll never inherit the kingdom of God, but they which do those things or continue in doing such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty intimidating, isn't it? Well, it makes sense that if I am a child of God, I wouldn't continue in witchcraft, that I wouldn't continue in murders, that I wouldn't continue in revelings or in Mardi Gras type lifestyle. But drunkenness is also listed there. Okay? That's not something that a child of God that is known among children of God. He says if that's you, then you're not a child of God. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In these circumstances, thank God, we can also see God's providence. The curse of Canaan, neither Ham nor Canaan could blame God for what happened, did they? They couldn't blame him. Neither could Noah. Noah couldn't blame God. And he did not provoke Ham to sin, but the purpose of God was fulfilled in all. It was always the purpose of God that there would be a people known as Canaanites that God would use to fulfill his different purposes throughout the history of the nation of Israel. God was not taken off guard in any way. When God remembered Abraham, neither Lot nor his daughters could blame God for what had happened. Lot couldn't blame God for the drunkenness. The daughters could not at all. But the purpose of God was fulfilled. And here come Moab and Ammon. Leah bore Levi and Judah. Okay, Jacob, he sinned. He could not blame God. He couldn't blame Laban. He couldn't blame Leah. He couldn't blame men. He couldn't blame anybody. He sinned. But ultimately, God was purpose. His purpose was fulfilled there, wasn't it? I don't know what the purpose of God is in every detail. But I know this, that there are strong circumstances and there are strong outcomes when the people of God partake in drugs and alcohol. It hurts. It brings hurt. We cannot excuse sin and say, well, it must be the providence of God for me to get drunk because I keep doing it.
No.
To do so, as we read in Proverbs 20 and verse 1, would be a willful act to object to sound living and to object to wisdom living before God. And none of us should desire to object wisdom. Child of God, the wisdom of the day is to leave alcohol and other drugs alone. Okay, I don't think any of us should have any confusion on that matter. The effects are many, including poor social judgment and awareness, poor concentration, memory, anger, confusion, disorientation, loss of self-control. And these effects, just listing them, we know that these effects are not God-honoring. It's not God-honoring to behave these ways. As we desire to live before God, we have to also desire to leave off and leave out the works of the flesh. If drunkenness is listed as a work of the flesh, then it ought to be our desire to get it out of our lives.
Yeah.
Am I perfect? No. But I sure ought to try to be. I sure ought to try to be. Well, this is not an unpardonable sin. It's not an unpardonable sin. These men, Lot, Noah, and Jacob, are all saved men. They're in the presence of God right now, rejoicing and thanking Him for His grace. Because of the consequences of drug use and the total abandoning of wisdom in drugs and alcohol, the child of God should have no desire to play with these things at all. None. Making excuses for drugs and alcohol is contrary to sound wisdom. If you would not advise somebody to use drugs and alcohol, defending it is also unwise and ungodly. It promotes ungodliness in such things. So stay away from it. Stay away. If you're currently doing these things, look, I'm not dumb or stupid. If you're currently doing these things and you think you have it under control, you don't. You're not better than Lot. You're not better than Noah. You're not better than Jacob. Don't deceive yourself, okay? Repent and leave that stuff alone, okay? Don't be upset about the message of the day. Repent and thank God for His mercy and serve the living God and leave that stuff alone. Using drugs just one time, using alcohol just one time can lead to a day that you'll regret the rest of your life. And not in a good way, in a bad way.
Yeah.
Sinner, drinking and not drinking does not change your standing before God. I don't care if you drink or if you don't drink. Don't think that you're holy just because you don't drink. Same with drugs. Doing drugs or not doing drugs does not change your standing before God. Don't think you're holy because you don't do drugs. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. But rest assured, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, died, buried, and rose again to save sinners from their sins. He can save people from all manner of sins. He can save the vilest of us, including those who were given to drugs and alcohol. Right? That's not a sin that's above the ability of Jesus Christ to save us from.
Right.
There's no sin that's greater than the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no sinner that's so sinful Christ cannot save them. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Oh, drugs and alcohol. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Brother Gary, would you please come and lead us in a hymn of invitation?